Good evening, everyone. Welcome to the City of Arroyo Grande. This is our council meeting for Tuesday, July 9th. Roll call, please.
Councilmember Guthrie?
Here.
Councilmember Ray is absent tonight. Councilmember Brown?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Costello?
Here.
And Mayor Ferrara?
And so, Lord, I pray for our councilmen, our mayor, Lord, that you would give them wisdom even beyond their own abilities, but wisdom to see the things that are before them, and to see the impact that their decisions would have upon the City of Arroyo Grande and upon the people of this community and upon our future. And so, Lord, we want to commit this evening to you. Lord, we invite you to just move as you please, do as you will in our community, we pray. In your name, amen.
Thank you, Pastor Ron. Appreciate you being here. And don't walk away, Tom. You don't get off that easily. We know you know the drill. So if you do the flag salute, we get to hear about Kiwanis and all the good things you've been doing.
No, you're wrong.
I mean Lions. I'm sorry.
How much time do I have?
It was Kiwanis last time.
Kiwanis
last time.
Okay. Well, the Lions Club, we participate in a lot of things with the city. We help with the turkey trot every year in November. We supply all the birds that are given away to the children to participate in the trot. And we man all the posts around, sign in, judges and stuff like that for the final. We're real. We help with the Children in Motion program. We have two barbecues a year for the Children in Motion program to raise funds to have that program continue on. We do the chicken or the barbecue for the volunteer banquet every year. And right now we're involved in trying to get the kitchen at the Women's Club remodeled, working with John Rogers and Women's Club, Bridge Club, and about another dozen organizations throughout the use the facility a lot in remodeling the kitchen. And we have come up with a good plan for it. It's going to be about $50,000. And we're all going to try to get all the money raised locally without having the city to put up anything. And we probably need some help with you on this prevailing wage thing. So we'll be back talking to you about that pretty soon. Thank you.
Thank you, Tom. And whatever you do, don't tell Mike Furman that I made this little goof up here. Okay, good. Thanks.
No one will know.
Okay, moving on to item 5, agenda review. Item 5A is closed session announcements. On Tuesday, June 25th, the council did meet in closed session where we discussed three separate labor issues, and the council took no reportable action. Is that correct? Okay. Continuing on with agenda review, 5B, move that all ordinances presented for introduction or adoption be read in title only and all further readings be waived.
So moved. Second.
We have a motion and a second. Discussion? Hearing none. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? The motion carries. Item 6, special presentation. Well, on the agenda, we have none listed. However, we do have a special presentation this evening, and for those of you who are not aware of it, the City of Arroyo Grande is once again engaged with America in Bloom, and we are, of course, partnering with our wonderful community group, Arroyo Grande in Bloom, and so as a result of that engagement and competition, we have two visiting judges here, and Bob Lund is here, who all of you know, and Bob, I'm going to ask you to come up and introduce the judges, and Katie and Melanie will hopefully come up and say a few words.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, members of the council, staff, members of the audience. It's a great pleasure to be part of American Bloom. It's a greater pleasure to be part of Arroyo Grande in Bloom. We have some of the greatest volunteers, some of the greatest people involved in this program that I've ever had the pleasure to deal with. But it's especially nice tonight because we have consummated 2 days of a visit from two wonderful people from American Bloom who they say judge us, but they're really mentors for us. So their whole objective in being out here is to see what we've done, but also to see what we can do even better. And we value their expertise and their experience, and they have incredible degrees and backgrounds in horticulture and lots of experience in judging not only nationally but internationally. So in order to have them say a little bit about what this whole program is about, I'd like to introduce Katie Moss Warner and Melanie Menachem Riggs, two of our new wonderful friends.
It is an honor to be here. Mayor Ferrara, to the council, I guess we're looking at the city staff here, amazing staff it must be, as we've just been around your city and seen what you've been able to accomplish. And, of course, we'd like to welcome the guests also who are in the room. It has been a real honor for Melanie, obvious, as you come here. And Melanie and I just spent 3 hours kind of recapping much of what we have experienced. And in each of those categories, we just said, how do we rate them? How do we rate them high enough for the things that they have been able to accomplish? As judges, we have a responsibility to deliver recommendations. We actually are responsible for delivering 5 recommendations per criteria, and we take that on. It's a very serious responsibility, but also an honor to be able to take a community that has accomplished so much and be able to, from our experience, from other cities that we've seen, from precedent that we have experienced, to try to deliver to you something hopefully that will be of value. And we humbly offer that because I believe you're probably dreaming way beyond what we can offer. I just wanted to say something about leadership. There is no question that great cities are a result of great leadership. Great leadership in the form of those who are elected, great leadership in terms of those who are paid to do great jobs, but don't always deliver great jobs, but in terms of leadership, take that on as an important responsibility. And of course, very, very importantly, to volunteer leadership. Our communities cannot be great without volunteer leadership. And I just applaud you all for remarkable leadership at every level. We've met many, many of you, and we can't thank you enough for your gracious hospitality, but mostly for the great leadership that you're showing, not only to your city, but by doing great things in your city, modeling great things for other cities across America. And we are very proud to be able to share some of those great best practices in Arroyo Grande with our other cities. Thank you.
I would also like to mention that I am so impressed with the level of volunteerism in the community, how the people here have pulled together to work on many different projects that have beautified the city, have brought a community spirit, a feeling of pride to the town, and how they are constantly looking to improve life in this wonderful town. And I really applaud you for being part of America in Bloom's project, and I hope you will be part of us for many years to come. Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
And it is a regret that we must leave you because we're taking them to dinner. So thank you so very much.
And Katie and Melanie, I'm probably not going to be able to see you again, but we will. Our paths will cross soon. And I wanted to thank you before you leave. I wanted to thank both of you for spending time with some of our neighboring cities. As you well know, we've been trying to promote America in Bloom and local in Bloom organizations for quite a while. And so for those of you who are not aware of it, at a luncheon the other day with Katie and with Melanie, we had both mayors from San Luis Obispo and Morro Bay and some of their community people as well, and they're very, very interested. And I appreciate the time that you spent with each of those cities, and I think we may have them finally. So thanks so much, and we'll see you around campus, that other campus. So thanks. Okay, moving along, item 7, community comments and suggestions. This is an opportunity for members of the public to come forward and comment on items that are not on this evening's agenda. The Brown Act restricts the council from taking any action on matters not posted on the agenda. We would ask that you keep your comments brief, 3 minutes or less. please address the council as one body. Anyone who would like to come forward, community comments and suggestions, once again, items not on this evening's agenda. Anyone? Okay, seeing no one, we'll close community comments and suggestions. We'll move to item 8, which is the consent agenda. If you're following along on the agenda this evening, the consent agenda is normally a group of items that the council approves in one motion. Unless there is a particular item on consent that a member of the council would like to pull for further clarification, additional discussion, or an independent action, this evening we are going to be addressing consent items. We have a lot of them tonight, 8A through 8N, as in Nora. If there's anyone in the audience who would like to come forward on any of those consent items, this would be an opportunity for you to add public comment. Anyone who would like to come forward and speak to any of the consent items? Okay, seeing no one, we will once again close public input on the consent agenda. We'll bring this to the council. What is the will of the council this evening? Any consent items to pull?
Yes, sir.
Okay, we have no consent items to pull. I will entertain a motion to approve consent items 8A through 8N.
So moved.
Second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. Any discussion? Okay, hearing none. Things to read in there tonight, Tim?
Yes, Mayor Farrar, we have two ordinances. Item 8L is an ordinance of the City Council of the City of Rio Grande amending Section 16.135 of the Rio Grande Municipal Code regarding Mills Act contracts for historic properties and amending the designation process to eliminate the Architectural Review Committee. And item 8M is an ordinance of the City Council of the City of Rio Grande electing to have delinquent solid waste collection and disposal service charges collected on the tax roll.
Okay, very good. Roll call, please.
Councilmember Guthrie?
Yes.
Councilmember Brown?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Costello?
Yes.
And Mayor Farrar?
Yes. Moving on to item 9, public hearings. We have none. Item 10 is continued business. 10A is consideration of a parking lot configuration for the police station upgrade. And this at 200 North Halcyon Road. Good evening, Teresa.
Good evening, Mr. Mayor, members of the council. Brief background. In a moment. Where we are today on our police station upgrade project, of course, is primarily before you to address the immediate needs that we have due to inadequate space and operational deficiencies. We have in the last year come before you with preferred and alternate scenarios. Last August, the upgrade project was considered as an alternate scenario, and November chosen as the alternate plan. In April, just this past April, you approved the two-phase approach, which was to address the immediate needs now with a remodeling, modest remodeling project, and in the future address the more extensive needs with a expansion or new facility. And you directed us to purchase the property at 270 North Halcyon and to prepare all some alternatives concerning the parking lot configuration. Before you, you have a few alternatives that looks at parking lot configurations, number of parking spaces, and with either removal of all trees, keeping some of the trees, and keeping most of the trees on site. And this is concerning the kind of clump of eucalyptus trees in the center of the project property. During this analysis, the contract architect and staff went through a very thorough analysis of parking needs, not only for secured parking vehicles, but for employee parking and for equipment, mobile equipment that is needed to be or desired to be kept close and accessible on site. This analysis showed that 26 spots are needed for city-owned vehicles, and 23 are required for employee parking. This was, again, in consideration of shift changes and the overall goal to get secured parking for both police vehicles and employee parking, as well as some protection and accessibility to a city police equipment. So you'll see on your site plans some standard spaces, and you'll see some oversized spaces, and that is in consideration of the types of vehicles to be parked. Trees, of course, were identified as a very important issue, given...
Excuse me, Teresa, is your mic on?
It is, my mumbling. Excuse me. Given the previous development proposal that was considered in 2006 on the site by VCA Animal Hospital. We did want to point out, and in consideration of that previous proposal and the long discussions regarding trees and the proposals before you, some of the differences that staff is thinking about in bringing forward these options. One is that reminder that trees, although a significant portion of the discussion on that project, was not the only issue. The building mass and scale and position on the site was identified then as a key factor. Two, consideration of the city practice to maintain existing mature trees if feasible. Alternatives exist to meet project goals. Was certainly a consideration then, given the tree location on site and the alternatives that were available for that project. And three, precedents with removal on trees on the property line is a concern. However, given the new lot combination, trees now will be placed in the middle of the construction area. And this did make options very challenging in terms of trying to preserve the most trees on site. I just wanted to point out, again, we're recommending mitigation measures should the council wish to choose options 2 or 3. Meaning some tree removal or more tree removal. We would recommend a 3-to-1 replacement with large specimens included. We would have room for those, some of those on site, and we would consider in conversation with the Tree Guild nearby or proximate locations for some of those taller tree specimens. Street trees should and would be included in the proposal on both on Rena and North Halcyon. And I have a dangling sentence here. And this was a concern that the trees that are kept, it's a very important concern that maintenance is a paramount factor in that, given the trimming and the maintenance of those trees would be certainly factored into long-term needs on the site. If trees are kept on site and carports are included, we would have to make sure that those would be maintained continually. And obviously, any existing trees would continue to create some issues with sidewalk lifting. This is just to orient everybody on the police station site. This is North Halcyon. Our triangular shape now consists of the property at 270 North Halcyon. And this is primarily the project section that we are looking at this evening, with the new parking lot that would be in addition to our secured lot down at the southern edge of the site. And now I'll go into the three options before you. Option one is to keep the integrity of the grove of eucalyptus that is in the center of the site. I do want to note that if option one is chosen, obviously we have fewer parking stalls, but that circle present at the top of your slide here indicates the big tree that's located near North Halcyon that would be saved with option one, except if the widening occurs. If the widening occurs, that tree would be impacted. And that tree is one of the largest specimens in that eucalyptus grove. Here is a photo taken from the old VCA building. This is a tree that was circled on the site diagram in option one. The arrows are indicating the trees that would be preserved in option two. So these trees right here could be preserved with option two, except if the widening occurs again, this tree would be impacted. The trees to the left-hand side of the slide, also with these arrows, would also be preserved with option two. Again, all of these trees would be preserved with option one, and only the arrowed trees would be preserved with option two. I did receive some comments, and I believe some council members may have as well, from Kristen Barnich, a member of the Tree Guild. She indicated that the tree that would be impacted by the Halcyon widening is one of the specimens that would be desired to be kept. It's in the best shape. It's a mature tree in good shape. The other stars are indicating trees that potentially would be good to be kept if possible, one of which would be kept with option two. We can refer back to the slide should you wish.
Go ahead, finish.
Okay. Option two, again, includes additional parking, and this is because the middle section of the trees would be removed. This does get us additional storage areas, and it does greatly expand our parking. We see the I believe there's 40 spaces included in this scenario. And the shaded areas would be covered parking spaces, and this is due again to protection of vehicles due to trees maintained on site. And these are the photos of the trees that would remain on site with option two. And option three comes closest to meeting the goals set forward by the council and as developed by staff in terms of meeting the goals of the project, in that most of the parking is accommodated. The 45 spots out of the 49 identified, we do have again some storage space. We have no need for the covered parking spaces. And we have the most maneuverable areas included in this scenario. This is important just by daily use, of course, and also important by allowing additional room for the drop-off and pickup of some of that mobile equipment. Some additional considerations that staff wanted to bring to your attention. In looking at the cost benefit of these three different options, includes a value placed on parking, on the parking stalls. We did calculate for the purposes of cost benefit the cost per space, which would be approximately $20,000 to $25,000 per space, and this is based on the actual cost of construction, land, and land acquisition for the number of spaces per option. Another topic for your consideration this evening is the widening of North Halcyon. It's been in the city's long-range plans to widen Halcyon. You may have noticed that it's been spot widened, if you will, North Halcyon on the east side in sections already, including one section of road in front of the existing police station. We have an existing 80-foot right-of-way utilized today by two 12-foot travel lanes, two 8-foot parking lanes, and 6-foot sidewalks. Each option before you can be constructed to the plan line with and without losing any parking spaces and with some minor modifications to the landscaping before as shown. And I would like to remind the council that the options before you, although utilizing topographic surveys and some detailed work in the site plan drawings, are not 100% design plans. So there'll be some minor modifications as we go forward. So please consider those at this point as still conceptual drawings. And with this project, we would also want to accomplish some frontage improvements. Those are outlined in your staff report in more detail, but we have some sections of sidewalk that we'd want to repair or replace, and we'd want to include some up to curb ramps that would meet today's requirements. I also want to inform the council that we've received a couple of comments so far. One I've mentioned from Kristen Barnett of the Tree Guild, and I've shown you her comments regarding tree specimens and her opinions of the trees on site. Another comment has come from Councilwoman Ray, who's not able to be here this evening, but I will read her comment into the record for your information. She writes that her commentary on the parking lot is that she finds the arguments about the trees now being in the center of the property due to new ownership compelling. For this reason, I think I can consider removal where I felt I couldn't before. Although I believe the enhancement to public safety and the benefit to the neighborhood, provided that there is no continued parking on the street, is compelling as well. I would like to see the design of the fence go to the Architectural Review Committee. I have concerns about creating a tunnel effect on Halcyon and an ugly fence for residents. This staff report says it will be attractive, but I don't know what that means specifically. I am definitely for including the widening of Halcyon as part of the project. And maybe you can consider a way to include my comments. And with that, I'll conclude with a recommendation from staff is to select a parking configuration option for the police station upgrade project and to provide direction on whether or not to include the widening of North Halcyon in the project scope of work. And I'd be happy to answer questions.
Okay. Now it's time for questions. Councilmember Brown, you had a question.
I apologize for interrupting staff report. Can you go back to the slide that shows the different arrows on the different... I was a little concerned about your description about which trees would stay and which wouldn't, and I'm particularly concerned about the center trees. It seemed like you weren't clear, based on option two, which ones would stay and which one wouldn't. I know Kristen Barnage had a vague comment about one being two trunk versus one. I'm just trying to get your sense of, towards the center of those trees, if you had a real understanding of which ones would stay and which ones would not stay.
Yes. The trees that would stay with option two would be these four trees here on the arena side of the property. The three are close together. One of those is very small and multi-trunked. And these three over on the Halcyon side without the widening. If the widening occurs, we would lose this big tree right here. And I think this tree probably could remain. It's in the area designated with a decorative fence, but we can work around that.
And it's my understanding, though, that those center trees are right in the middle that you haven't shown yet. There's some of them that have single trunks that Kristen was actually suggesting you save.
Yes, and her comments were that they should be, they would, before they would be chosen to stay, that they would be checked by an arborist. She wasn't as sure on the health of these trees, but that as they were not multi-trunked and appeared to be in good condition, that these two indicated with a star would be desired to remain. The rest, you can see, are multi-trunk trees and would not likely survive over the long term. They're likely born out of a stump.
Okay, so my second question is regarding option three, because I guess I'm just lacking some understanding. Maybe you could help me clarify this, is looking at that slide under option three, what trees would remain?
Option three would maximize the parking lot and take out all of these trees.
So there'd be no trees left?
There'd be trees, but new trees planted.
Okay. Okay, thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Okay. Any other questions? Okay.
If I could, thank you, Mr. Mayor. In the memo we got from Kristen does indicate that she had some sort of conversation with Dave Reagan, the arborist. Do you have this memo? Do you know which tree is indicated as tree number one?
Yeah, I was going to ask the same thing, Teresa. This came in very, very late this afternoon, and I was wondering if you had it in front of you.
I do have the memo about the email,
yeah.
And number one says save, and this is the tree that I'm fairly certain she's meaning.
Right.
And that's and Steve's not as sure. Her email reads, "This is probably the best specimen of tree there, big, beautiful, and healthy." I believe that this is a tree she's indicating again would be retained with option two, except for the widening.
Yeah. So these. If you look at the slide where you have the arrows here, according to the recent memorandum that we or the email that we got, these would go.
Correct. Right. Well, they would go with option two.
Option two.
They would go with option three, but they're not. They could go with any of the options. They're not desired to be saved.
Whether okay. or not you have the widening.
I think the issue might be that. The feedback we got from Kristen indicates that the Tree Guild would have no problem with those going. They're identified as remove.
Correct. And again, option two is designed to keep some tree line foliage on the site. And they're not, besides the one indicated with both the arrow and the star, there may not be the best specimens there, but they were designed to keep some skyline feature on the site, and that was the objective of option two. We could not design a median option, if you will, with those trees starred and still provide more parking than option one. Yeah, so... In other words, we couldn't design a parking lot around only the starred trees and give us an efficient parking option. Option two was works for parking because it can put a double aisle in this section of the site and maximize parking for that portion of the site, and that would require the removal of the middle section of trees.
Okay, was that it?
Yes, thank you.
Okay, I'm a little confused now based on your last statement because as I read option two preserves the two large mature trees, so It's this one and this one on the outer edges?
Yes, it would be, if you follow my, it would be this one if the widening doesn't occur, the large mature one.
Right.
And this one.
Are
and
those not the ones that are starred on option two?
They are starred on option two.
Okay. All right. Any other questions? Okay. While not a public hearing, we would ask any member of the audience who would like to come forward on this item to come comment, if you would so desire. Anyone who would like to come forward?
John Keene, 298 North Elm Street. I would hope that the council would approve option three with a couple of caveats. Picture's not up there, but it gives the most parking, it the most convenience, and the trees on the other ones would have to have carports built, which to me is a necessity, except I don't think the trees are a necessity, so that would save spending money for carports. On option three, it shows an emergency exit to Halcyon, which I think should be fenced over and save the money, because it's got parking places in front of it. So if there's cars there, how's an emergency exit? None of the other parking configurations have emergency exits, so it must not be that important. And I would think we'd save the money and not put an emergency exit in there. Number three, it doesn't show on this one, but one of the plans shows taking a lane in the street, and I don't think that that's a good option to narrow that street like that when we can get all the parking on the property. The other option is I think it's imperative that we widen Halcyon. If this was a developer coming in here to develop that, you can bet that there would be a mitigation measure to widen Halcyon. And I noticed in the staff report that it said that we wouldn't do it, but we would do it later. Well, I know that there's no mitigation measure that ever tells a developer, well, when you get the money, you come and fix the street. So I think the city's responsibility is to widen that street. Thank you.
Okay, thank you for your comments. Anyone else? Okay, we'll close public comment on this item, bring it to the council. We'll start with Councilmember Brown.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I've had a lot of heartburn over this, and I'm going to listen to all the council members before I actually make my decision, but I will make the following comments, and that is that regarding mitigation measures, and I've known this since the time I was on Planning Commission, 3-1, the difference is that you don't have the maturity and you don't have the context of older trees on the property. So there is some value to having older trees on the property. And I understand, based on private comments that I got and John's comments that I heard today, is that carports are part of the issue, that you might have droppings from the trees, but if the trees are maintained in a better shape than they are now, we'll have less droppings and less problem. So I think that's less of an issue. So I'm leaning towards either option one or option two. I think it's imperative that we hold ourselves to the same standard or close to the same standard as we hold private people that have come before us, and I'm talking about the VCA. And then we clearly, besides mass and scale, we did ask them to preserve the trees, and I was around during that period, and I know that to be a fact. So I'm concerned that in terms of the way that the police station fits into the neighborhood, that we have some mature trees there so that there's some sense of context. Regarding the widening of Halcyon, I understand it adds additional parking spaces on that side. It was very well explained by Teresa, and I think that's a true statement. But I think you have to ask yourself the question of, okay, so we widened on this side, and John's right. I think normally we would ask developers to do that. I don't think that's a misstatement. I think that's true. But if you look on the other side of the street, we have the church and we have a number of different buildings, which we wouldn't tell them at this point, since the buildings are already built, to widen Halcyon. So I really wonder what the value long-term, without some sort of cohesive plan to widen the entire street, is really going to be. We can talk about, well, we're building it, and it's cheaper to do it now because we're building, and that's a true statement. I agree with that. And Councilman Guthrie has said that. Other people have said that. But you have to look at it in terms of the overall length of Halcyon, and I just wonder if we're, it's like similar to building a sidewalk to nowhere. Are we really just widening a small piece of the property with no long-term value than an extra few spaces? And so I'm leaning towards option one or option two, given the fact that we really are working on a space that is not optimum. We're trying to provide additional police, you know, building and spaces based on the property that we have and the property we can get versus the other properties we looked at, which I think were far more desirable, but we have to live within our means, and I appreciate that. So it's not, nobody's going to get everything they want. So I guess my sense of it is option one or option two. I understand that if we do the widening, we're probably going to lose that main specimen tree. But I'm going to have to hear a compelling argument as to widening now if we don't really have a long-term vision as to how we're going to get the rest of Halcyon widened. So, again, I'm kind of got a lot of heartburn over this issue, and I want to provide the police station with whatever they need, but in the same breath, I think we need to hold ourselves to the same standard we held the VCA to and anybody else that might come forward. It's interesting that because we call it public safety, we can sort of ignore the other standards that we would apply to anybody else. And so I think it's important that the public understands that we are applying the same standard to ourselves as we do to public safety. And so with that, Mr. Mayor, I'm going to withhold my vote and my decision until I hear from the entire council, but those are my comments.
Okay. Thank you very much. Councilmember Guthrie.
Could you put back up the picture of the trees from Kristen Parkinson? I'm going to try that pointer.
Can you get any pointer with that?
Don't loan that out. It's mine.
Okay. First I want to say that I do think we need to widen at this point. Not only is it something that we would require of a developer, but we actually already have a couple of easements down the way that, it's true, they would be half blocks, so there's no point in doing it down. But I think there's actually a pretty decent chance that in the next 10 years we will widen it at least from here down to El Camino. I will say, yes, obviously the church next door is a big problem because of the way it's laid out, but it's not an impossible problem. And so when you look at this, the result is that this tree here, the best tree, would go away, even in option two, and we come over on all of these would go away in option two. And really, the only tree we're left with in option two that is a prime specimen tree is this tree. These other trees here are not identified by the Tree Guild as being particularly valuable, particularly good specimens. So we're really in giving up the four spaces and giving up the turning space and frankly giving up, in my mind, the potential future development of the police station to increase the size of the police station. We would be facing this decision again if we decided we really did need to build in place, and that would take away that option. Whereas we would give a parking space and we'd be back to the parking issue, but at least we would have the option to expand the police station. So if we choose option two over option three, we're really only saving this tree, and I just don't see where that would be that valuable. Returning to the issue of the VCA versus the VCA decision versus this decision, I'm certainly not going to say that the trees weren't part of the issue, but really the decision, the first decision that we made was when we installed the detective trailers. And at that time, I voted for, and I think the entire council voted for, at that time it did not make sense, the argument that the trees, that the potential risk from the trees outweighed their value in parking next to the detective station. I think we all agree at that point that argument did make sense. But when the VCA came forward, I think, and it was a 3-2 vote. Well, I don't remember. I read it in here. And the trees were part of it, but the primary decision here was that, in fact, the structure was too big for the lot. And it's sort of my personal belief that had these come up in a different order, had the VCA come up first before we kind of committed ourselves to protecting the trees in a different context, that in fact the VCA could probably have located their building in such a way that with the trees gone, that in fact they would have gotten approval. Still would have been a two-story building. I also point out one other item here, and that is that we had originally planned for the police station to be a two-story building. So in some ways, by backing off of that decision, that's not the reason we're making it, I don't think, but by backing off of that decision, we are in fact going to honor what was the neighborhood's concern here, was that we were building a two-story building that somehow conflicted with their neighborhood, and in fact have returned this now to being a one-story building. So my position would be that, yeah, we would go with option three. I would add to that that, yeah, clearly we would want to take a look at whatever the fencing is on Halcyon is let's say upgrade. I mean, it's not just a cyclone fence with some slats on it or I guess you guys have ivy on it, but that it is really something that complements the neighborhood. And I'll leave that up to the design people. Though I will just say that I think what they did at Spanish Oaks over here is actually probably an example where they have the little pop-out trees, and the trees, instead of being on the street side, are actually on the back side of the sidewalk, and it would affect some of the parking. We could probably shorten a couple parking spaces, but that's just a tangent. The other thing that I'd like to look at is we're actually still short parking, just a few spaces. And in one of the plans for the VCA, they looked at not the alleyway that you guys have proposed, but actually to turn Rena into a one-way street for one block and then have angled parking. Now, I don't know if that works with the in-and-out gate, whether you can still have angled parking and still make that gate work and still have a reasonable number of spaces. So that would be this area here. Would be angled parking, and there would be some sort of a conflict here with this entrance, but I would think we would still gain parking. It does affect two homes. It's certainly something we would want to work with the neighborhood on, but I'd like to see us come back with not the alleyway plan where we actually close it off, but the open plan where it just changes to one way. I think John's mentioned about the emergency space over here. Actually, there's an emergency exit in both of the other plans. It's just smaller. It's a single lane wide. Unless somebody's going to express an opinion that we don't need an emergency exit, it does make sense to me that you would have some other way of getting out of this parking lot. Granted, cars could be in this, but the assumption is this is employee parking. Somehow you have access to the ability to move any car that's in an employee parking space. So I certainly think we would want to keep this emergency exit unless there's some specific reason why we don't need it. I doubt this is a particularly expensive item. The final comment I want to make is about this section down here. I think this is where we do all of the tree mitigation. And I know we've talked about this being a pocket park and a whole bunch of things, but at the end of the day, this is a pretty small piece of pretty small park sitting right on a major thoroughfare. It's not going to be a playground, and it's not going to be a contemplative place unless we were to enclose it somehow. So in my mind, this would actually probably be where we would maybe want to focus a whole grove of trees and really make up for it. And I agree with Councilman Brown, it is in no way equal, but at least plant the kind of trees that would grow quickly, like eucalyptus, in this section here, and that this would become instead of a pocket park as is depicted here, would be more of a tree grove, sort of reflecting our desire to correct this change that I think is necessary. So those are my comments. Thank you.
Mr. Mayor, I can add a comment about the arena one-way discussion, if you wish.
Go ahead.
We did look at the one-way scenario for arena in this section here, but we didn't get a whole lot more parking spaces, and it's just because of the triangular shape of the lot and the backup space needed between the rows wasn't quite reached, so we didn't think it was a viable option, given that we'd only achieve a couple more spaces.
Sure. Teresa, I have a question about that, if I might. What's the difference in spaces between doing that and widening Halcyon and adding additional spaces on the Halcyon side?
The widening really achieves additional comfortable on-street parking, if you will. You may have noted that there is a parking lane on Halcyon, but it's due to the general speeds on Halcyon. It's not often used. It's narrow, and the alcove that was created with the partial widening here gives a more comfortable parking lane, if you will. So I would just say that you would get maybe six or eight more parking lanes. Of course, you wouldn't want to put one here, parking spots rather, and that would be better utilized with the widening at this time.
Well, I guess what I'm trying to figure out is what's the difference between widening Halcyon and doing the one-way on Reno? What's the difference in spaces?
The one-way on Reno would, whether you configure it with either expansion of the existing lot or additional diagonal parking, you'd get more parking with the Reno, even though it would be just a few spaces, because the parking on Halcyon, you're really replacing existing parking.
So you'd actually gain spaces by doing what Councilman Guthrie says versus a widening of Halcyon?
You would achieve a few additional spaces with the arena scenario.
Okay. Thank you.
But it would cost more to do that.
No, I understand. Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Mayor Pro Tem.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Can we bring up the street scene that shows the road? There we go. Exactly what is the goal of widening Halcyon? Does it give us simply more parking? Does it add an additional lane? Ultimately, when we're done, will there be additional lanes of traffic provided?
There would be an additional lane of traffic when the widening would be complete.
And that's on both sides?
Lane. Yes.
Okay.
That's in theory that you widen both sides.
Right. You would achieve additional lane of traffic with both lanes, two additional travel lanes widening both sides, but you'd lose one parking lane.
Okay, and that's the ultimate goal. Eventually, we want to get there.
Correct.
Okay.
Probably the most immediate goal is to get an additional eastbound lane so that when you're traveling on Halcyon and you reach Grand Avenue, now you're forced to make a right lane, is to be able to have the extension of that lane through Halcyon up to the freeway. That's kind of the, I think, the key immediate goal. It's not going to be
okay.
The first goal we have would like to accomplish.
In going back, when the VCA project was in front of us, I supported the project as was proposed by the VCA folks, and I, quite frankly, I didn't mind losing most of those trees. I'm not a big proponent of eucalyptus trees. I do want to see trees go back in there. I'm going to start with the concept that I want to go to either option two or option three. But I think that no matter what we do need to keep in mind the widening of Halcyon. So that has to be a part of it. And if we go with option two, as the mayor pointed out, we do lose that tree number one, which was one of the specimens we wanted to save. And ultimately, with the feedback from the tree guild, we end up saving just one tree. And to me, that means that we should just slide right into option number three, because option number three does provide the most amount of parking spaces for the lot, while not quite meeting the total demand of it. I think Jim Guthrie's comments about the little triangular piece at the very end being where most of the trees would go in is true, but I do think if we can bring up option three, please. We still have a little bit of space over here that we would be able to see some trees perhaps go in there in terms of mitigation. But all things considered, with the sacrifice of most of the trees, because they're not viable, we end up saving only one tree with option two with the widening. So I'm going to support option three. I think it's the best way we need to go in terms of looking long term. Remembering that this is a 5 to 10 year fix for the police department. This is not a permanent solution. But when we're done with it, that this facility will need to be used by someone else for some other purpose. And I think having an adequate parking lot there is going to be something that's going to be a big feature for that down the line. So I'll support option three tonight. I think that's the way we need to go. I don't know that we necessarily need to go with the one-way setup on Rena. I think that if we get the widening of it done right now, we'll have, for the next 5 years, we'll have additional parking spaces. We won't get to the additional lane of traffic going eastbound, but ultimately we will get to the additional eastbound lane of traffic, and I think that's where we need to head. So I'll support option three tonight. In terms of the fencing, I leave it to the input from the Architectural Review Committee and the design process to come up with something that's going to look good and be a functional security gate there also. I also would like to point out that the emergency exits on all three plans, 1, 2, and 3, are manual emergency exits. They're not intended for vehicles to get out. They're intended for people to get out if they need to. So having parking spaces there is not going to block it. People will still be able to get out and get through those emergency exits, whether we choose option 1, 2, or 3. So that's a moot point to me.
Okay, thank you. Before I start, Teresa, a couple of quick questions. In the staff report, on page 4, 3.1, there's a paragraph towards the end of the page, starts off with the city's long-range plans include the widening of North Halcyon in order to better accommodate forecasted traffic volumes. And I'm wondering when was the last time we checked in on traffic volumes? And I guess what's on my mind now is a couple of things. First of all, as you recall, you know, a lot of the incidents where we refer to traffic volumes on Halcyon had to do with traffic off the Mesa. And I guess my question is, when was the last time we checked in on some of those traffic studies post Willow Road? I don't think we've actually taken a look at what has happened to our traffic volumes off the Mesa with Willow interchange in place. And the other thing, obviously, are issues associated with new development up there and the water situation. So I guess the bottom line question is, how current are these long-range forecasted studies that we have? And are they as valid today as they were when those studies were conducted?
We have recently updated our traffic model. We are going to be bringing that forward to you as part of our traffic and circulation element. So we do have new information. It was looked at in terms of the Halcyon widening implications with this project, and still determined that widening is a priority. The Mesa traffic is still going to continue to come up Halcyon, even with the Willow interchange. And that's due to the fact that there's a good portion of neighborhoods there that would have to essentially backtrack to get to Willow when they choose to go north. And that was in discussions with our traffic consultant. So we checked in with them on this. We're looking at this in terms of bringing forward, you know, the update to our traffic and circulation element. And that those were the and we have some regional modeling information that was looked at as well. So though not as though deferred, in fact, the traffic volumes don't get as high as they originally were predicted as quickly. Eventually, there'll still be need for accommodating regional traffic up Halcyon.
Okay, well, I'll be interested in taking a good look at those studies. And I guess the reason why I'm pausing a little bit is that we all know the dynamics of traffic studies and traffic models. The real world for me is, I know so many people that live up on the Mesa and particularly in the Trilogy Tract who used to come out of Trilogy, the hundreds and hundreds of homes that they have in there, before Willow was built. And they would make a left turn on Highway 1, make the loop around, come down the Mesa, come through Arroyo Grande, and jump on the freeway. Now everyone is talking about how much easier it is to come out of Trilogy, make a right, go straight out Willow to the freeway, and then north on 101. So many more people are going in that direction now that wish to access the freeway. So I'm going to be really interested in taking a good look at those studies. The other thing that I haven't seen recently, and we've been talking about it all night, is the I haven't seen a concept drawing or a strategy recently for how we're going to widen Halcyon. I don't know if there are options to how we widen the street when there have been strategies applied in other part of the city where we've wanted to preserve something. And we've actually come up with a strategy to do that and still create space. I'm not sure at this point if we have exhausted all of those options. I have, it's been a while since I've seen what we are proposing for Halcyon. I would like to see that before I consider whether we, you know, really need to just, you know, look at the full stretch of Halcyon and there's no other option but just to cut a straight line. I think there may well be some other options that we can look at there. That said, I'll cut to the chase. I'm going to support option two. And if you can bring up the tree slide again, there you go. Option two, based on the most recent information that I heard from Kristen, and then looking at option two, I think for now I'm comfortable doing what we need to do to look at the two large tree specimens. If there's a point in time where we decide that we're going to widen the full length, and there's no other workaround for this tree, then we can take it out. I'm not convinced that we're there yet, and I'm not convinced that taking this tree down is the responsible thing to do. I believe that if we preserve the two outer trees, and the ones in the middle go away, we're talking about four parking places. And I'm sort of glad that our two America and Bloom judges have moved on to dinner, because I quite honestly would not want them to sit here and hear the conversation that we're having here. And the reason why is because one of the categories that they are here to evaluate us in is urban forestry and how we look at practical ways to preserve our mature trees. I don't think, you know, I don't think all of us are on the same sheet of music there, but for me, I think that's important. This isn't a trade-off. It's not a compromise. It's a question of figuring out a way to satisfy two different goals. One goal is to do the best we can with the police station expansion, to optimize as much parking opportunity as we can. And then the second goal is to preserve our urban forest. And that doesn't mean taking out every tree on that lot, especially the two large mature trees. As far as the carports are concerned, I'm not, I listened to what Councilmember Brown was saying. I'm not convinced we need a carport if those trees are maintained. If you look historically for how many years when the VCA hospital was there, the whole side, all of this, all of the parking spaces all along those trees were filled with cars. They parked under there every day. And so, yeah, there are some droppings, but those trees were not well maintained, and they're still not maintained well today. So I'm thinking that if we maintain the two large specimens, keep them in good shape, they're not the typical aggressively shedding eucalyptus species. These are actually in our tree inventory. We take out the rest that gives us the space that we need, and we satisfy our two goals. So that's where I'm heading tonight. Before I am not in a position to discuss or even consider whether we should be widening Halcyon or not until I see in front of me some strategy for doing that. That in and of itself is an agenda item that I think we're going to have to consider. Not, you know, an offhand ancillary item to this particular project. And I would like to see that brought back with the traffic study, the updated traffic model. I think it's more appropriately associated with that than it is this project. So I'm going to support option two, maintaining the two large outer trees. If it comes to pass that everyone is convinced that widening is necessary and justified, and there is no other strategy that we can employ through that widening process, then we may lose this. But I'm not there yet. And so for our purposes tonight, I'm going to support option two, maintaining only the two mature outside trees. Okay. Any other comments?
I have one additional comment, if I might. I would just note that Teresa, when you and I went out to the site this afternoon, and we talked about Kristen Barnes's option, which seems to me to be a modified option too, because there are some trees in the center, single trunk trees, that she believed were worthy of saving. There's discussion of leaving the outer trees, but her option really was a modified option too, in which there were some trees in the center that were savable as well. Is that correct?
That's correct. She, although she wanted to verify again with the arborist, these two were given an arborist recommendation desirable to keep, these two middle starred trees. And in terms of that impact on option two, however, can we design around all the starred trees? We wouldn't be able to efficiently do that and get.
Why not?
Because, for example, this is option two, and those trees are located right about here and here. And so if you came in with a drive aisle, you know, on one side, you might be able to still achieve some a couple spots over here, for example, but that it would certainly impact a majority of the spaces in this section of the parking lot, and it would not be that different than, you know, maybe with a couple more spaces in a driveway than this option in option one.
Okay, so here's another question. We think about Cookie Crock and putting trees in the middle of that parking lot and trying to create some foliage in the middle of these larger parking areas. Mm-hmm. Why wouldn't we consider leaving one tree, two trees, something to create some foliage context in the middle of that parking lot and still not lose that many parking spaces?
We could consider, I just can't guarantee it, some additional parking lot trees, probably not in the northern section of the site, with the diamond planters, if you will, similar to what you would see in a shopping center. So we may be able to get some additional trees in, but maintaining the existing trees would be very challenging. They're just in the wrong spots. The healthy ones are in the wrong spots.
Okay. Well, we'll try a motion.
So aren't there also some pretty significant grade issues if you keep the trees in place? When I was standing there in that parking lot, if you were trying to keep those trees, you'd have a pretty difficult time grading between the two parking spaces.
You would have to give a certain berth to maintain the, I mean, you can work around the grade, but it does expand the circumference of the tree safety area, if you would.
Anyone want to try a motion?
I'll make a motion to the City Council that we recommend to staff to go with configuration 3 and that we widen Halcyon as part of the police project.
Okay.
I'd second that.
We have a motion and a second. Discussion? Hearing none. Roll call.
Councilmember Guthrie?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Costello?
Yes.
Councilmember Brown?
No.
And Mayor Farrar?
No. Okay, well, we'll try one more. I would move that that we go with option 2, maintain the two outer larger trees, and that we defer the direction on widening Halcyon until we have an opportunity to view a strategy in front of us, a widening strategy in front of us, and also have that come back to us in concert with the updated traffic study and traffic model.
Second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. Any discussion? Hearing none, roll call.
Mayor Ferraro?
Yes.
Councilmember Brown?
Yes.
Councilmember Guthrie?
No.
And Mayor Pro Tem Costello?
Yes.
Okay. All right. We have direction. Thank you. Okay. How's everyone doing?
Good.
Continue. I'm glad everyone else is okay, but I think we're going to take a 5-minute necessity break, and we will reconvene at 25 after the hour. Okay? Okay, council is back in session, and we are going to move to item 11A, and this is consideration of dispatch consolidation study options and the grand jury report and response.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor and members of the council. As you know, consolidating dispatch services with other agencies has been an important goal for the city for some time now. This evening, what we're requesting the council to do is to first approve staff's proposed response to the recent grand jury report on the topic of joint dispatch, and to approve options that we've identified for further study that will allow us to come back to you in the near future with a recommendation on how we can hopefully accomplish this goal this year. So in your staff report, I provided a pretty detailed background and history of these efforts. I thought I'd spare you all those details today by just simply summarizing. You can summarize this very clearly. You know, the fact is it's come down to the fact that we've been working on this for many years. We have done many, many studies at this point. We've had a number of groups that have met, had many series of meetings to try to work this out amongst the jurisdictions. Unfortunately, not successfully at this point. Most recently, the grand jury prepared a study on joint dispatch, primarily as it refers to the jurisdictions of Arroyo Grande and Grover Beach, and particularly as it relates to consolidation with the Los Angeles County or the San Luis Obispo County Sheriff's Department, and then with CAL FIRE providing services to the Five Cities Fire as an option. We'll get into that more in that in details in a moment. There are a number of key issues why we feel this is such an important issue. The most important is the need to enhance capacity and coordination. Currently, each of our jurisdictions in this area operate very small independent dispatch operations. Our operation most times of the day only has one full-time dispatcher on shift at any given time. We've done studies that have supported the fact that based on call volume, this is the appropriate level of staffing. However, the problem is it doesn't give us any capacity to handle increases in workload due to major incidents. We think the recent power outage was the best example of this problem. We, during that, quickly after that outage, we immediately became overwhelmed in the dispatch center. We had to call in off-duty staff to come in and help take calls. The other dispatch centers in our area experienced similar problems. We think this is a good warning, you know, warning incident because it clearly showed the weaknesses in our ability to respond to major incidents and the increased calls of those incidents. Based on the type of issue this particular incident was, it did not result in any or very few calls where people were waiting for critical public safety services to respond to them. Because the other dispatch centers were already also overwhelmed, it was very difficult to communicate with them or reach them, so the communication was lacking also. But in a more serious disaster-type situation, it shows that we would have those same type of problems and same type of weaknesses, but in those instances, there would be a lot of people that were waiting for very serious calls for service from public safety, and they would be waiting, wouldn't be able to get in, and then we would also be having trouble trying to reach our neighboring jurisdictions. The second issue is we believe that through joint dispatch, could operate much more cost efficiently. We believe there are cost savings available. Now, this isn't our primary goal. Our primary goal is really service level enhancements. But while we've always felt that this measure is so important to pursue, and why it, to some degree, it seems like just a no-brainer to us, is it really provides a unique opportunity to both improve service levels at the same time as decreasing costs. We don't get a lot of opportunities like that. The third major issue is the loss of the full benefit of fire consolidation. Our consolidation of fire services through the Five Cities Fire Authority has been extremely beneficial to us. But the last link, the last benefit that we haven't been able to benefit from yet is the fact that Arroyo Grande is still dispatching Arroyo Grande calls. Grover Beach dispatches calls for Oceano and Grover Beach. And so that limits the level of coordination and service level enhancement we can achieve through that particular agency. A couple other issues that don't relate directly to the dispatch proposal, but relate to this overall effort and recommendations that we want to study, or options that we want to study and develop recommendations. The first is the importance of communication and disaster response. We touched on this a little bit with the dispatch, but it goes beyond that. A number of individuals throughout the county recently participated in a training exercise at the Emergency Management Institute back east, and that exercise involved, as I say, individuals from many agencies in this area going through disaster simulations utilizing a common EOC. And it became very clear and very evident the importance of having everybody together that's involved in those disaster response planning activities to be in the same room. So a person only has to walk across the room to reach somebody from another jurisdiction. In our area, with our small communities, we're going to be highly dependent upon each other. And given the experiences we've had just in more minor incidents that have come up that have overwhelmed our dispatch operation, it's clear that improved communication during a disaster response would provide a substantially enhanced level for us to be able to respond to our community in the most optimal manner. So we think that's a very important goal. And then last is the need to relocate our dispatch operation during construction of the police station improvements that is coming up here soon. We have a number of things we're looking at there, but it ties in with these efforts because some of these efforts may provide a means for doing that on an interim basis, or addressing those needs on an interim basis. So I mentioned recently the grand jury release day report on joint dispatch with some recommendations and findings. They've asked us to respond. Our recommended response is attached in your staff report. Basically, they have one of their findings is that there is a duplication of services, which we agree with, and this is between Grover Beach and Arroyo Grande Dispatch. They have found that there are future cost savings from consolidation, which we agree with. There was a finding that that citizens are at risk regarding fire protection due to incompatibilities in some of the equipment. We looked into that a little bit. It's our understanding that some of the specific equipment and compatibilities that they were looking at have been resolved. In discussing it with the chief, it looks like clearly we feel that with improved consistencies amongst equipment, there can be an improved level of service to the community But we do not think that the statement that our citizens are at risk at this time is an accurate statement. Then they included a kind of unusual or strange finding here because it wasn't consistent with what everything else in their report. They had a statement that the sheriffs are prepared to provide fire dispatch. The rest of their report emphasized the need to consider dispatch with CAL FIRE through the fire department. We've met personally with the sheriff to ask him this question, and it was pretty clear the response to us was that they were not willing to provide that. And it was also emphasized in the preliminary proposal that they provided. So we didn't agree with that. And then lastly, the recommendation was to pursue a facilitated meeting with Grover Beach, the sheriffs, and us to discuss joint dispatch with the sheriff's department, and then also to have a meeting with the Five Cities Fire and CAL FIRE to discuss the consolidation there also. Our staff's position that we're recommending is we think we should be willing to participate in any type of meeting that could make progress in reaching some agreement in providing joint dispatch services. However, we do not believe that it's needed, particularly from the fact, because of the fact that one of the primary advantages of the proposal from the Sheriff's Department is that we can work with them directly on an agreement between Arroyo Grande and the Sheriff's Department. Grover Beach can do that independently. It doesn't really necessitate both Grover and Beach and Arroyo Grande agreeing on that, or even both of us having an agreement with the sheriff. So since we feel that we have the ability to do that independently with the sheriffs and probably would be more constructive us doing it independently, we don't agree that there's a need to have that meeting. And then just a few options I wanted to mention to you really very quickly. We haven't got into a lot of detailed analysis at this point. It's just to make sure we're on the track on the options that we'd like to study and then bring back to you a recommendation. The first is a concept that we've developed that would be a Five Cities Joint Dispatch Center and / Emergency Operations Center. This particular concept, we think by far would present the most advantages and the most significant enhanced level of service to our area, both now and well into the future. So we feel strongly that this is an ideal solution. The problem is, in terms of feasibility, we probably think it's least likely to get the support we need from the other jurisdictions. But the jurisdictions we've talked to have at least been very open to considering it and discussing it, allowing us to study it. It would involve a standalone facility to basically try to get away from some of the hurdles we've had so far and concerns from agencies over having the dispatch needing to be turned over from one agency to the other. This would be one shared standalone facility, not overseen or managed or on the site of any particular jurisdiction. It would involve a partnership between the City of Grover Beach, Pismo Beach, Five Cities Fire Authority, and the county. And I think the county is an important piece in this, which haven't been involved in some of the other discussions. It would be over the concept anyways would be that it would be overseen by a PA board, which in this case we're recommending that the board would consist of the three police chiefs. And then the day-to-day operations would be overseen by a dispatch / EOC manager. And so this individual would supervise the dispatch operation, but they would also serve as a emergency services coordinator for the entire area, which would be a huge benefit to us in terms of making progress on our disaster preparedness and training efforts. That would be an individual that would work with all our jurisdictions, coordinate the training, and then obviously would man and coordinate all the activities of the EOC. The dispatch services would be proposed to be provided to the fire authority on a contract basis. By doing that, the three jurisdictions would be equal partners, and then the service would be provided by to the fire authority through a contract, which would very much meet their needs, and then keep it structured so the three cities are equal partners. The advantages of this is it would still maintain local oversight, having a locally functioning dispatch center and EOC. It would increase staffing and meet the goal of increased capability. Meanwhile, it would reduce cost. Our preliminary look at it, we think that the cost would even be reduced below the cost, even after you take into account the cost for a new facility. We think there would still be savings over that. It would be the one option that would allow us to consolidate fire dispatch for fire authority, as well as keeping the fire authority dispatch coordinated with the police department dispatch. And lastly, it would create a regional EOC. As we mentioned, we think that would be a tremendous benefit to the area. A second option would be to contract with the sheriff's department. It most likely would have, even though we haven't completed an analysis, our guess is that it will have the most cost savings. It would have, given their staffing levels, it would have the highest increase in staffing available for police calls anyways. Fire calls would be a different situation. As far as concerns, it does not address the fire, dispatch for the fire authority. If the fire department, or if Grover Beach also contracted for police dispatch with the sheriffs, that would only leave the fire authority with CAL FIRE, and then there's some concerns there regarding loss of control over our apparatus given the shared areas that we respond to. And then lastly, it does not provide the regional EOC we were hoping to pursue, and it separates police and fire dispatch. So we gain some coordination between police operations, but we lose the coordination between police and fire. Lastly, we've had some preliminary discussions with the city of Pismo Beach. They're open to us at least requesting them to make a proposal. Their advantages are their systems are very compatible. It would be the easiest option as far as getting up and running, and cheapest initially as far as anything that would be need to be done to do that. They also provide a good interim solution during the construction period because it's so easy to convert over to them. And we could even work out a deal with them to maybe have our dispatchers occupy a portion of their dispatch center in the interim period, so we wouldn't have to even have to initially make changes to our operation. It doesn't provide the same capacity as a joint five-city center or the sheriff's, so it would probably make most sense on a longer-term basis, only if it was a first step towards achieving a facility that also brought in fire and Grover Beach. But it could be a first step working towards that, since it could provide a kind of a pilot project to determine how a scaled-down consolidation works and maybe get a comfort level from the other cities of how that might, how effective that might be. So at this point, we are asking for direction. We'd like to go back and do some analysis on the sheriff's proposal and to be able to bring back what the actual cost to the city would be and the actual cost savings. We'd like to ask Pismo to submit a proposal, see what they might be interested in. As far as a five cities option, we'd like to invite both Grover Beach and Pismo Beach to participate with us. We have a feeling that they may have different interest levels as far as the amount of participation that they'd want to provide, but both seem very open to the request and to whatever we come up with to submit to them to consider. I think that concludes my report. I'd be happy to answer any questions that you have, and probably should bring the chief up if you can for
Questions. Questions. Any questions? Questions, Joe? Okay. Before we start, this is not a public hearing, but once again, We have interested parties in the audience. If anyone would like to come forward on this, would be an opportunity. Anyone? Greg, come on up.
Thank you, Honorable Mayor, City Council, staff, and public. My name is Greg Pisano. I am a 24-year resident of this city. I live at 456 Avenida de Diamante. I'm also a retired CAL FIRE Division Chief, 32 years, of which 25 of those years were spent here in this county. Let me state up front, I am not a spy, and I was not sent here by County Fire, or CAL FIRE for that matter. I'm here on my own as a citizen. I have looked at the grand jury report relative to fire dispatch. I noticed a conflict. The conflict says, and I believe this must be former Chief Ardanaz's comments, states he does not believe that CAL FIRE is interested in handling dispatch for Grover, Oceano, and Rio Grande. But yet on the next page, finding F4 says Five Cities Fire Authority does not want CAL FIRE's involvement. So I think that's a conflict, and I have to ask myself why that is. So I believe it's that old bugaboo of the perceived loss of local control. And I read Alternative 2 on the City Council agenda report for tonight, and it states that concerns by Fire Authority regarding CAL FIRE dispatch involve potential loss of local control over local resources. Okay, we hear that when I was working, we heard that a lot, and I do not... I don't denigrate that at all. I understand that feeling very well. So, what I would like to state in closing is that what's really obviously missing from the agenda report is any involvement with CAL FIRE dispatch at all. And I think that the perceived losses of local control should be put aside and at least invite CAL FIRE to participate in discussions. CAL FIRE has been very, very good over the years in tailoring their contracts, whether fire protection contracts or dispatch contracts, to the needs of the local entity. The city is driving the bus here, and if there is a concern about keeping their resources outside the area, the five-city jurisdiction area, longer than you're supposed to, that can be addressed. These things can be worked out. So I would urge the council to keep in mind that there's another option out there, and as a citizen, I think it could be a potentially cost savings one. Might free up the police departments to do their dispatch consolidation. But don't let that perceived loss of local control put you off on that, because I think that's a very viable option. And one last statement. I have long thought that there needs to be regional EOC in the Five Cities area. I totally support that concept. What I would caution on is co-locating an EOC with a police department or a fire station, because I've seen those. They don't always work very well. It gets to be just too much commotion when the chips are down and things are getting hot and heavy. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you for your comments. Anyone else? Okay, we'll close public comment, and we'll bring this to the council. And if the council will indulge me, I'm going to go first on this issue tonight, and there's a reason for it. Obviously, the grand jury report just didn't come to us. It went to the other cities as well. And this was actually a topic that Grover Beach put on our mayor's meeting last Friday, and so it kind of unwrapped the whole discussion on where we go from here. And fortunately, I had an opportunity to kind of discuss concepts back and forth with Steve before going into that meeting, and I believe that there is a tremendous amount of potential in the regional EOC concept. The reason why I say that, and I should indicate to you that also on the agenda, the mayor's meeting agenda, was the, I won't say confusion, but the information gaps that materialized around the power outage. It took us a while to understand what the heck was going on, the communication with PG&E. The chief and I were talking in the wee hours of the morning with regard to when the potential time would be for power restoration. I was texting back and forth with John Scholes from PG&E, and PG&E didn't have a lot of information, but they were trying to put information out in kind of a shotgun approach to every affected public agency, and not having a good deal of luck connecting with them. And so finally I told Mr. Scholes to go through the county operation, the county operation center, and let them contact each of the police departments. There, at least we would have some degree of centralization and some consistency on what was going out. So, so we kind of, I kind of carried that information into the mayor's meeting, and we spent some time discussing the willingness of Grover Beach and Pismo Beach to once again, and I realize we've had these long series of meetings, but I'm not ready to give up yet, to discuss the concept. I think there's an opportunity here if we involve county OES. I believe they should be at the table. So we talked about putting together sort of an unwrapping session, if you will, on this whole issue of dispatch, regional EOC, and perhaps the whole notion of a public safety answering point for both police and fire under the same roof. And if you look at the county geographically, I agree with the comments that Greg was mentioning a moment ago. The South County lends itself to that type of an operation, and so does the North County. And Tascadero, unfortunately, couldn't make the mayor's meeting, but Paso was there. And they certainly realized that geography can create all kinds of issues when it comes to communication, response times, all of those kinds of things. So having some degree of centralized coordination on a regional basis could be the answer to things that happen up there as well, over the grade. So so we talked about the possibility of having that unwrapping session, kind of an initial shakeout meeting that would involve the mayors, the city managers, all of the public safety chiefs, to include CAL FIRE, the sheriff, and perhaps Ron Alsop from County OES, and just to talk about feasibility. In terms of potential facilities, it's far too premature to talk about that, but I believe after giving it some thought that there is some potential in and around the South County Regional Center, perhaps in conjunction with the Briscoe Interchange Project. I don't want to go into a lot of detail on that because we still have some foundation to lay here, but we might also want to bring in whoever is the chair of the Board of Supervisors to that meeting as well. But I believe that the option that Steve put up on the board to pursue that, at least to the point of making a decision as to whether or not it's viable or not, we can look at shorter-term strategies for our dispatch, during the construction. Some of the ideas that we have up there are fine. But I'm thinking a little bit longer term here. That would satisfy, I think, a lot of the issues that are confronting us now. Mayor Marks was there from San Luis Obispo, and, of course, she commented on the, we all remember the proposal that we sent to the city of San Luis Obispo for dispatch. And so she said, whatever happened to that? Why didn't you pursue that? And I said, well, Jan, if you looked at the dollar amount, I said, we could have hired a whole battery of dispatchers and built a brand new facility for what you guys were going to charge us to dispatch. So she said, was that expensive? And I said, yeah, it was. And so, but one of the other things that she shared that I think was valuable here, and I had to kind of set aside a lot of the conditioning, and I know Mayor Pro Tem and I have been through this a number of years, and we've heard the good, bad, and the ugly about whether you could, in fact, train a generic dispatch function that could effectively dispatch both police and fire. And, of course, my knee-jerk reaction to that from over the years was it doesn't work very well. They talk different languages. Different things mean different, different items of resources have different labels on them that sound alike, but they're not. They're vastly different. So all of that stuff was running through my mind. But her response was that they were able to overcome that. They have very sharp dispatchers. They were able to train them. They function very well, dispatching both police and fire. And so I'm not, at this point, willing to, discount that potential. So that sort of lends itself to a centralized facility, a separate facility. I agree that we tend to run into problems when we try and integrate an emergency operations center, especially if we're going to open it up on a regional basis, but yet it's in someone's facility, some jurisdiction's facility. So I'm thinking, we may want to look at kind of a neutral area, and even though the South County Regional Center is in the city of Arroyo Grande, it's always sort of been considered as a kind of a county enclave. So I believe there's some potential there. Bottom line is, I think the reason why we have been unsuccessful, obviously, conflicting policies, politics, but we have new faces in high places. Councils change, key department heads have changed, and contracting agreements have changed. So I believe that there's some potential here, and I think my recommendation is that we give direction to staff to go forward with convening at least an educational forum with the key people at the table. And looking back over the years, I don't think all of the times that we've had our meetings, I don't think we've quite had this combination of players around the table looking at regional potential. And so I just think there's tremendous value in that. That's going to be where I'm coming from. As far as the grand jury report is concerned, it is what it is. I agree with your responses. So that's where I'm coming from on this. I apologize for jumping in front of everybody, but this was additional information that I wanted to get out there. So we'll go to Councilmember Guthrie.
Well, I guess all we really need to do, I think, is look at the fact that we had a very similar meeting in 2003, and it was 2011 before we put together the very first proposal. Lots of work took place in between, but in reality, that's the reality of faith. There may be new players, they may have new ideas, but we're going to end up at the same. I believe we're going to end up at the same place. So I'm in favor of, at minimum, moving forward with the county proposal, even if it's in parallel with the other one, and we can evaluate where the regional center is. I think the regional center will be nowhere in 6 months, but we could hope for something different. Having county dispatch is a common. We're not reinventing the wheel here, and I do think that when we talk about a regional dispatch putting together two or three different cities, that in fact all it takes is one of them not to participate and the whole thing doesn't work. The other point that I'd like to make is that even if that were successful, it would be 3 to 5 years away, and in the interim, if we were with the county, we would at least be laying the foundation for this coordinated activity. And then if it doesn't succeed, we can always withdraw from the county and go forward with our own facility. We have a 3-4 year window. There's nothing about going with the county precludes us from doing our own facility as a region. So I think we should ask the county for a specific proposal so we can evaluate. There are a lot of it's certainly an incomplete proposal, both financially and as far as physically how it would work. I do think that the sort of the hair in the ointment is, of course, how we deal with fire dispatch. For one, I think when we look at this, we're kind of on the other side of when we were working with Grover Beach and made the proposal on police consolidation and their concern about local control. And our proposal to them was that, well, you'll be the customer. You'll actually have mechanisms in order for you to control what takes place. I think that was a point made today, is that we were asking them to make that leap, and they didn't make that leap, and we were astounded that they wouldn't, given that that there would be significant improvements in their police facility, their police. And yet here we're sort of saying, well, but we're not willing to do it ourselves. I think it's doable. I think that either with Cal Fire or some sort of combination with Grover Beach and working that out with them, that we can find a mechanism to handle fire dispatch. It's just not going to happen until it has to. And I think we need to move forward. I think we owe it to the public for both the improvements that take place and the financial improvement, that we owe it to the public to move forward with something sooner than later. And in my mind, the regional dispatch center, as much as everybody may have got warm and fuzzy over lunch the other day, is just pie in the sky. And, you know, if it's possible to pull that off, we can do that in parallel. But we should be moving forward with something that is concrete and available today. Thank you.
Okay. Just so you understand, I'm not in disagreement with you. I'm looking at this, but I'm looking at it as sort of an interim measure with the idea in mind of working towards some sort of a regional.
Well, I think we are in disagreement. You're talking about an interim measure. I'm talking about possibly parallel. I mean, truly, I think it's a waste of time. But if the council majority wanted to move there, but they need to be in parallel. We're going to get a bunch of people together and confuse the issue by having another meeting. We need to move forward with the county, and if there's a parallel deal, we have this meeting. That doesn't bother.
I'm okay with parallel. That's what I meant to say. Okay.
Maybe I should clarify staff's recommendations of the options we're recommending. What we're recommending is that you direct us to go back and study all three of those and then come back with a recommendation on how we should proceed. So, we're, as far as at least the study portion of the effort, we're proposing that they all be done concurrently.
Right. But I guess what I was saying is, looking at your recommendations here, if I understand where Jim's coming from, I have no issue with moving forward with what you're recommending here, with the understanding that we're going to move ahead with at least a good, a good spirited effort on the regional EOC notion. So
let me ask another question then. What is the timing on our remodeling of the police station that's going to require moving dispatch?
Well, as far as the remodeling of the police station, the dispatch function, as far as relocating it during construction, is going to have to come early on. So I don't know what our current timetable is with the architect as far as the remodel. But clearly we need direction on where we should be heading as far as at least the interim measure during construction, because we have to work with not only whoever our partner is going to be on that, but we also have to do a number of technical things with Verizon and AT&T and a whole host of other people, including the state.
Then I guess my direction there is that we would be doing the interim measure with the county and not with BISMO.
Okay. Councilmember Brown.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I just want to make a couple. I don't know if it's on there. How's that? I just want to make a couple observations. And the first is that leaders lead. And Steve and Tony and Mayor Pro Tem have all led in this issue of consolidation. And it can be a lonely place because you try to be a visionary and think outside the box and try to bring people along. And sometimes that doesn't work too well, as we've noticed. That doesn't mean you shouldn't lead and you shouldn't try. So I want to thank you for your efforts. They haven't gone unnoticed, at least by me. Maybe by some, but not by me. And it can be a lonely place, and I understand that. But you still need to lead, and that's what you're doing. So when you go home tonight, realize that there are those times when you kind of feel by yourself, but we understand what you're doing. Second, being the one bringing the issue forward. So say, fine, what do you have to propose that might be better? We'll fully listen to you if you have a better option. This is about being more successful as cities as a group, more successful in our service, in providing public safety. I find it fascinating that due to human nature, if it's not our idea and we didn't come up with it, we don't buy into it. So I think the idea is to ask these people that we're in partnership with, and we truly want to be in partnership with, what can we do better so that you don't feel like you're not an equal partner? Because that's the idea behind what you're doing, and I know that's the idea behind what you're doing. In terms of CAL FIRE, my understanding is, and there's other people that can speak to this better than I, that the reciprocity has not been equal. So I would want to know that any agency we pair with would have some sort of fair reciprocity in terms of service. Again, I think it's incremental. I appreciate the mayor's position that we should have a regional center, and that is truly the end goal. But experience has taught us something else, and experience has taught us that we need to go at this very incrementally. Otherwise, people won't buy into it. So, as Councilman Guthrie said, I think we should move forward in an incremental way, show that that's successful, with the idea that we can move on to bigger and better things. It's truly something I think we can conquer, but we have to be more sensitive to what it is causing roadblocks to the other jurisdictions being a part of the solution, because there's clearly something going on, because we've made good faith efforts to try to do joint dispatch and do these other things, and there's just been a lot of resistance, which I don't quite understand, but maybe that's my lack of understanding. So I want to hear from those jurisdictions, what can we do to make you feel like you're a full partner and this is part of your solution as well, so that we can get the joint dispatch and the joint center that the mayor talks about going forward. But right now, I think we need to move in an incremental manner. Thank you.
Okay. All right. Mayor Pro Tem.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Well, I'll start by saying parallel is good. I've got no problem with examining any options and being open to anybody that's willing to sit down and talk. That being said, one of the things we have to do is we have to learn from the lessons that we've got. And we had the class, we went back to EMI, there were representatives from Royal Grande, Grover Beach, Pismo Beach, Atascadero, San Luis Obispo, the county fire. We had just about everybody back there. It was a great, great lesson. We came back with a certain amount of energy and a certain unity of will that we do need to move forward. Then we had the outage. Curiously enough, I was up in the northern part of the state, and my wife called me and said, there's something going on with the power. I sat there on the computer and was able to generate a lot more information and find out what was going on, because I had power. But we have to learn from that. What happened in Canada this week with the train, runaway train coming down and bursting into flames and burning the inner part of the city, that hasn't happened here, but we do have to look at what our problems are and what we face. We go back to the mid-90s. I remember there was a big meeting with all the fire departments in South County. Royal Grande was there, Pismo Beach was there, Grover Beach was there. Now, this was back before Pismo had contracted with CAL FIRE. Oceana was there, and everyone sort of talked a while and left that meeting. This was about 1995, I believe, with the belief that we're so far apart, We've got so much not in common, more not in common than we had in common. We're never going to go anywhere. Well, here we are 17, 18 years later, and we have come with a consolidated fire department. Change is incremental. Change came forward. I think we need to ultimately get to having a regional EOC. Now, this is my professional opinion, not my city council opinion. This is my professional opinion. I do this for a living. Individually, Grover Beach, individually Arroyo Grande, individually Oceana, individually Pismo Beach, is going to be at a loss to staff out an EOC. That's if they have an individual event that affects only them, much less a regional event that affects us all. I think we need to support one another. We need to be there in that EOC working together. And if there's an incident that affects Grover Beach, they can use our staff to help staff that EOC, just as we can use their staff or Pismo's staff, or Pismo could use ours, to work together in a regional EOC, including the county. I think ultimately that pretty soon with the police station renovation, we're going to need to move dispatch out. I don't know whether working with Pismo Beach may be an option. Maybe it's not. Maybe the best option is going with the sheriff, even on a 2-3-4-year contract basis. One of the lessons I also learned is when we start talking about consolidating this, jurisdictions fear the loss of control. They fear the loss of jobs. I know one, Grover Beach, feared that they were going to lose positions and shrink down to below a threshold for their medical benefits, for their medical pool. And those issues all need to be dealt with, but they can be dealt with. But they're not going to be dealt with if we don't work together, we don't talk together. We have an opportunity right now, following on the common course we took at EMI, to continue to move forward. I think we must do so. So ultimately, I would like to see alternate one be the one we ultimately end up with. But as I say, I think that's going to take some time, and fine, let's work on it. Again, the lessons from the mid-90s where we sat down with all the fire departments was we were never going to get together, and we did. We've come a long way. There's still more to go. So continue to look at all of the different options, study them all, get some hard numbers back here. Let's keep people working together, and let's keep moving forward. I'm not sure I have much more to say on this.
Okay. Quick question, and you can tell me it's premature, and that's fine. Do we need to look further? Let me ask the chief. In terms of where we are right now, are there pros and cons that you know sort of going in between agreement with the sheriff versus Pismo? Of the two, are there...
Well, we may be a little premature, but I can give you a general idea, I guess I would say. The pros with Pismo Beach, to start with them, is that we, as the staff report mentioned, we share very common equipment, software, mobile data equipment, and even our repeater sites are in a good alignment to have us work with them. We use the same records management software. We use the same dispatch software. And we recently had our PSAP, the emergency 911 phone answering point, also wired to Pismo as a backup. So we now have both Grover and Pismo as backups for us if we were in a situation where we had to switch over. So there's a lot of things in common with Pismo. There are, I know I've been to their facilities. They do have what appears to be adequate facilities, a console that's not even being used. So even if during the construction period, depends on what we're looking to do, if we're doing something during the construction period, there may be a way to do that with existing Arroyo Grande staff working in the Pismo facility. And that is an option. The sheriff's option has some similarities to ours. They have just put in an entirely new radio backbone system, and it's very state-of-the-art. It would require some costs on our part to both hardware and software get online with them, even during a construction period, simply because we're not exactly compatible. How much that would B, we have some ideas from what their very brief proposal was for a longer-term dispatch, but for a shorter term, I'd have to verify that with the sheriff. So the answer is we don't have absolute, but we do share a lot of common with PISMO. In a short-term scenario, I would venture a guess, and again, this is without talking to all the technocrats on it, that PISMO might be a bit easier during a shorter-term construction operation, especially using our own labor just to utilize a console. However, at the end, then the decision will have to be made. Are we moving our people back into the remodeled police station and pursuing another avenue, another option? I don't know if that helped.
Okay, thanks. Okay, before we go to a motion, I just want to check in once again with the council on what I was stating earlier. When we left the mayor's meeting, and the city manager from PISMO was there as well, I think all of us walked away from that meeting with an understanding that this was something we wanted to look at. We wanted to pull, you know, this kind of unique hybrid group around the table and at least, as I mentioned earlier, unwrap it and see where it goes. And we're not just talking about an EOC. We're talking about essentially a PSAP. We're talking about a 24/7 centralized dispatch that could morph into an EOC.
Right back into our old mode, or are we committing ourselves, are we moving forward with what is the most, well, I think we can all agree is the most viable short-term option is to go with the county. So as long as it's not going to slow that down, if we're going to end up with going around in circles again for 2 years while we decide, one, that the county is not going to be there forever, if we want a commitment from the county, then we need to be making a commitment to them as well.
Okay. Well, I don't think anybody's talking about going around in circles.
I'll try a motion, Mr. Mayor. I move the council, one, approve the proposed response to the grand jury report, two, direct staff to request formal proposals from San Luis Obispo County Sheriff's Department and the City of PISMO Beach, three, direct staff to prepare a cost-benefit analysis of the proposed potential options, and four, direct staff to return with recommendation alternatives for consideration.
Does that include Tony's option of a...
Well, that's one of the options. That's one of the things under study.
Okay. Is that clear enough then?
That was clear because that was our recommendation. It wasn't particularly clear. At one point, you had also mentioned forming a group that would meet, and if you want to still propose that, it would be helpful for us to get specifically what you're envisioning there as far as who to include so that we would have going out of here and a clear action plan of what we need to do.
I think if embodied in the Mayor Pro Tem's motion is that we're looking at those options, then you and I can, if you're okay, you and I can kind of pick up the pieces where we left in that mayor's meeting. I think the first step was to look at scheduling with the other two city managers. That's what the mayor suggested. So,
and I believe that if you look at page 4 of item 11A, the very bottom paragraph, under alternative 1, to proceed with this alternative, it's recommended that a brief study be prepared by staff to identify cost, potential sites, and other issues. I think that staff meeting with the staff from the other cities is part of that. So I see that as right as part of this, part of my motion.
I think we can go with that.
Okay.
Is there a second?
Second.
All right. Any further discussion? Hearing none, roll call.
Mayor Pro Tem Costello?
Aye.
Councilmember Brown?
Yes.
Councilmember Guthrie?
Yes.
And Mayor Ferrara?
Yes. Okay. Moving along to item 12, city council member items. We have none listed. City manager items. We have none. Council communication, correspondence, comments as presented. Anything to contribute?
I just want to comment, like I said earlier, that I'd like to close the meeting in memory of the 19 firefighters that lost their life, and they had the memorial in Prescott this evening.
Right. That was coming up. I forgot to announce it at the beginning of the meeting. I do have two items that I want to share, and I'm not sure how deeply we can get into them, but I think maybe all of us got copies of the letters regarding the noise occurring behind R&D's down the street. And so I just wanted to kind of refresh that information with us. Did you all have a chance to look at those emails?
I did, yes.
Okay. So could we just get a comment, maybe, Chief, on where we are with that?
I, too, got copies of both the emails, and we were familiar with the calls on July 5th. In short, where we're at right now is, first and foremost, we wanted to review the record on how many times we got called there and also how many times we initiated calls back to the location on our own. And if I recall, I didn't know we were going to be talking about it tonight, so it's off the top of my head. I was reviewing it today. We received three calls to the location, and we came back an additional three times on the officer's own part to check again. It really comes down to two things that I see, and that is, first, some of it had to do with, I think, part to do with the weather, and not to dismiss the noise and the warm weather that we had, and the fact that the doors were open at R&D's while they had live music playing. So I am sure.
Goal to conclusion, and particularly keep the responding officers informed as to what they can do and what they can't do. So hopefully we resolve this. So
right. We'll be talking with the management there, and then we'll be talking with the officers that work during that same time period to make sure people understand when they can actually move to shut them down if it ends up being that big of a problem. And so, again, I do think some of it, from what the officer said, was the uniqueness of that night, how warm it was the night after 4th of July, and the doors open in the back. But we will talk with them, and I'll get information back to council on what the results were.
Okay. All right. Any other council communication?
I do have a question or a comment. Steve, you talked about the gate between the R&D's parking lot and Harvest Church. Has that issue been resolved, Steve? Do you know?
Oh, the other gate. We're still checking into that. Yeah, I haven't gotten a response back from community development on the final resolution, but they are working on that. I'll make sure we get back to you this week on that.
Thank you.
All right. Item 15, staff communications. Anything, Steve?
No, sir.
All right. Item 16 is our final community comments and suggestions, and it looks like we can kind of move quickly through that. And that takes it to item 17, which is our adjournment to closed session. Once again, we normally give the public an opportunity to comment on the closed session items. We have no public present this evening at this time. So before we adjourn to closed session, in consistent with the comment made by Councilmember Brown a moment ago, many of you have heard on the news that 19 firefighters were lost fighting the Arizona wildfires. And I understand tonight, Tim, is their memorial service. So to honor their commitment and bravery and obviously the ultimate sacrifice they gave, we're going to adjourn this evening's meeting to honor them. And then also with regard to closed session, I just want to remind that the public that we will report out of closed session if there is any reportable action at the next regularly scheduled council meeting. So the council is adjourned to closed session at this time.